Naham nayuyam yadritham gatim vidur. Navama deva kim vit utha pare sura. Tanmayaya mohita udhayastvidam. Vinirmitam chatma samam vachakshmahe. Since neither Lord Shiva, nor you, nor I could ascertain the limits of spiritual happiness, how can other demigods know it? And because all of us are bewildered by the illusory external energy of the Supreme Lord, we can see only this manifested cosmos according to our individual ability. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We have many times mentioned the names of 12 selected authorities, Dvadasa Mahajan, of which Brahma, Narada, and Lord Shiva head the list as the first, second, and third in order of merit of those who know something of the Supreme Lord. Other demigods, semi-demigods, Gandharvas, Charanas, Vidyadharas, human beings or asuras, cannot possibly know fully about the potencies of the Absolute Lord, Sri Krishna. The demigods, semi-demigods, Gandharvas, etc. are all highly intelligent persons in the upper planets. The human beings are inhabitants of the intermediate planets, and the asuras are inhabitants of the lower planets. All of them have their respective conceptions and estimations of the Absolute Truth, as does the scientist or the empiric philosopher in human society. All such living entities are creatures of the material nature, and consequently they are bewildered by the wonderful display of the three modes of material nature. Such bewilderment is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Tribhir gunamayar bhavayar ebi sarvamidam jagat. Every living entity, beginning from Brahma down to the ant, is individually bewildered by the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone thinks in terms of individual capacity, that this universe, which is manifested before us, is all in all. And so the scientist in the human society of the 20th century calculates the beginning and end of the universe in his own way. But what can the scientist know? Even Brahma himself was once bewildered, thinking himself the only one, Brahma favored by the Lord. But later on, by the grace of the Lord, he came to know that there are innumerable more powerful Brahmas as well, in far bigger universes beyond this universe. And all of these universes combined together form ekapad vibhuti, or one-fourth of the manifestation of the Lord's creative energy. The other three-fourths of his energy are displayed in the spiritual world. And so, what can the tiny scientist with a tiny brain know of the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna? The Lord says, therefore, Mohitam nabijananti mam ebhya paramavyayam. Bewildered by such modes of material nature, they cannot understand that beyond these manifestations is a Supreme Person who is the absolute controller of everything. Brahma, Narada, and Lord Shiva know about the Lord to a considerable extent. And therefore one should follow the instructions of these great personalities instead of being satisfied with a tiny brain and its playful discoveries, such as spacecraft and other products of science. As the mother is the only authority to identify the father of a child, so the mother Vedas, presented by the recognized authority, such as Brahma, Narada, or Shiva, is the only authority to inform us about the absolute truth. Beautiful chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are given a glimpse into the types of discussions that take place amongst the greatest spiritual personalities. This is a dialogue between Lord Brahma and his disciple, that exalted Acharya of our Sampradaya, Shri Narada Muni. Narada Muni is the spiritual master of so many of the greatest Acharyas throughout history. He is a personal associate of the Lord in practically all of his pastimes when he comes into this world. And here we find the seed, the beginning of Sri Narada Muni's relationship with his own spiritual master, Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, who is the father of Narada Rishi, the grandfather, great-grandfather, all species of life within this entire universe, the original guru who has manifested the Vedas through his four mouths within this universe, the all-powerful creator of all the various manifestations within this entire universe. He is of such an exalted position. And yet, in his description to Narada, he is not in any way indicating his own greatness or capacity on any level. He is completely humbling himself before his disciple in relation to his connection to the Supreme Personality of God. He is not trying to prove to Narada how great he is. He is trying to prove to Narada how great Krishna is. This is spiritual mastery. Today, so many spiritual masters want to prove how great they are, to the limit that they want to be worshipped as God, the Supreme Personality of God, or the manifestation of the impersonal Brahman. But Brahma, he says nothing flattering about himself. He simply glorifies Krishna. He simply wants to impress in Narada's heart the supreme unlimited glory of Krishna and the absolute necessity of taking shelter of Krishna, and the renunciation of everything and anything save and except those things that are favorable to help us to please Krishna. Here Brahma is admitting that although he has been given the post of such an exalted status, even he is bewildered by the illusory energy. What to speak of Lord Shiva and Narada himself? We are all little puppets before the Supreme Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. And according to our desire, we are either controlled by the Supreme Puppeteer, by the strings of his external energy, Maya Shakti, or we are controlled by the strings of his internal energy, Yoga Maya. But in any case, we are always like puppets, being controlled by Krishna. And no one should think they are very great. Narada Muni in his previous birth was the son of a maidservant, and because he humbly took the remnants of the great sages and served them with great devotion and listened to their narrations of Harikatha, he was given the opportunity to purify his life in complete absorption and meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord. And then he took such an exalted birth directly from Lord Brahma himself at the very dawn of creation. And Brahma is not just talking to an ordinary neophyte bhakta disciple. He is talking to a disciple like Narada Muni, who has already in previous births realized everything. And he's explaining that we are all subjected to the illusory external energy of the Lord unless we are fully protected by the shelter of the Supreme Lord's mercy. This is subject matter even for the greatest acharyas. And what makes a person a great acharya? Not that such a person is above the external energy, but that a person is constantly, moment after moment after moment, seeking shelter of the Lord in pure devotion. And due to that shelter, that person is above the external energy. But without the mercy of the Lord, no one can withstand. Even Brahma, Narada, or Shiva. And this reality has been demonstrated through so many wonderful narrations within the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other such scriptures. Srila Prabhupada in this purport refers to the time Lord Brahma was bewildered. His bewilderment was just to show the power of illusion and just to show the greatness of God. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how Lord Brahma came to Vaikuntha. And when he got to the door, he asked the gatekeeper, "Please tell my Lord Narayan that Brahma has come to see him." Now, Brahma has a very exalted service to the Lord. He runs the whole universe. It's something like if someone goes to the GBC and says, "Tell Maharaj that I am the president of Bombay has come." Of course, you know who the president of Bombay is. But in this temple, Radha Gopinath temple, if you come, the answer will be, "Which president?" In this way, nobody has a very exalted position. Everyone is. So Lord Vishnu treated Brahma the same way. He said, "Which Brahma?" And when Brahma heard, "Which Brahma?" he was very confused, very bewildered, because he was thinking he's the only Brahma. Because when you have a very, very high and great position, you're thinking that you're the only one like this. You become so much into yourself. And Brahma was really confused. "All the service I've done for the Lord by creating the whole universe, he doesn't even know who I am?" Sometimes when we do good service, we want to be recognized. So he said, tell the Lord it's the four-headed Brahma. So the Lord, when he heard that, he called for so many other Brahmas from the different universes within the cosmic manifestation. And our little four-headed Brahma walked into the room. And he saw so many Brahmas offering their obeisances and worshipping with prayers the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some had eight heads. He thought, how is this eight heads? Then he looked around. He saw some with 16 heads, some with 32 heads, some with 64 heads, some with 138 heads, some with 200, 300, 500, 1,000, some with 10,000 heads, some with lakhs of heads. He even saw a Brahma with millions of heads. And each of them looked so beautiful and graceful. And Brahma realized that he is insignificant. And each Brahma was talking to the Lord, explaining what are the affairs of the universe they were in, how the asuras were being controlled, how the demigods were doing, how the devotees were, the different problems they may have been facing, like this. And then the Lord said, all right, you all go back to your universes and always remember me. And they all left. And then Lord Rama, he understood that by the Lord's supreme mercy, wanted to reveal to him that he is insignificant, that God is great. And how great is God, no one can ever know. And it is being explained that even Lord Shiva, who is greater than Shiva? Within this material cosmic manifestation, he's actually even the source of Brahma. He takes birth from Brahma. When Brahma becomes angry with the Kumaras for not wanting to get married. From the beginning of creation, fathers have been angry with their sons when they want to be brahmacharis. So don't think it will be any different today. So in this way, Shiva was born from the third eye, from between the eyebrows of Brahma. But actually, he manifested. But Shiva existed before. At the very beginning of the cosmic manifestation, Shiva, Parvati, began to manifest the various energies on behalf of Krishna of material cosmos. So it is explained by Srila Shukadeva Goswami that once this great personality, Mahadev, the greatest of the gods, he approached Lord Vishnu and he inquired. He said, I have seen many of your incarnations, all kinds of incarnations, but I just heard the story of how you appeared in the form of a beautiful woman and you bewildered all the demons to the extent that what they gave their lives and souls to attain the nectar of immortality, they gave it to you out of infatuation for your beauty. I desire to see this wonderful manifestation of this form. And Lord Vishnu, he said, yes, I appeared in the form of the most beautiful woman within this creation. And I bewildered the demons, but I did not bewilder the demigods. You want to see this form? Lord Vishnu began to smile. He said, I will reveal this form to you. And the great acharyas explained that when Vishnu smiled, he understood that Lord Shiva was asking for something that would become very historical. So then Lord Vishnu disappeared, and Lord Shiva was standing alongside his consort, Bhavani, who was actually Maya Devi herself, who controls the whole material nature. As well as his associates and his devotees. They were all standing together. And then, a little distance away, there was a beautiful forest with all multicolored leaves and flowers on the trees, and all sorts of nice fragrances. And in that forest, a beautiful young lady appeared, and she was playing with a ball. And as she was bouncing the ball, the various parts of her delicate body were moving and trembling in certain ways that had completely infatuated the mind of Lord Shiva. And as she was watching the ball with her eyes, and it was moving very restlessly, which were like lotus flowers, petals, she every now and then glanced upon Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was thinking, "She likes me. She is attracted to me." This is the power of Maya. This is how Maya works. No secret, but yet a great secret. How, in the form of the opposite sex, which is so charming, when we are so attracted to them, but when they glance upon us and appear to be attracted to us, then we become even more harassed by attraction to them. And as she was bouncing her ball, the ball started going a little distance away. So she began to chase after her ball. And Lord Shiva, he became completely intoxicated with lusty desires. And he just forgot about his wife Bhavani and all of his associates and his devotees, and he went running after her very fast. How is this possible? Who is Lord Shiva? His wife Bhavani is the conductor of all material energy. In her form of Durga, with her trident, she keeps everybody completely trapped by the three modes of material nature, by the threefold miseries of material existence. And Shiva is never infatuated by her. He is never put into illusion by her. Shiva sits in Kailash, under a big banyan tree, in samadhi, completely immersed in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Parvati wants to have some lila with him, she has such a difficult time getting even a trace of his attention. He's so completely detached from her and from everything. Lord Shiva is so renounced. How can anyone compare to him? He has such immense wealth. Material nature herself, Durga, who all the worlds are worshipping for material wealth and prosperity. Very rarely does anyone approach Durga for something spiritual. They approach Durga for money, for wealth, for prestige, for power. Like that. And Lord Shiva is her master. She is his chaste, humble, faithful servant. It's the power of Shiva. And yet he doesn't care for any wealth. His consort is giving kingdoms and planets with all opulences to devotees. And Lord Shiva is just wearing some simple animal skin. And he doesn't even have a house. Have you ever heard or seen a picture of Shiva's house? He just sleeps under trees, sits under trees. Shukadeva Goswami was asked by Maharaj Pariksit, how is this Lord Shiva? He's the bestower of the greatest opulences, and yet he himself has no opulences as far as material wealth. So this is the nature of Shiva's detachment. And one time he was so deeply in samadhi, and the demigods, they wanted Lord Shiva to come out of the samadhi because they desperately needed him to help because the demons were conquering them. And nobody could get him out of his... When he would go into trance, meditating on the beautiful form of Lord Vishnu, Krishna, he was beyond material existence. So they had Kamadev, Cupid himself. And who is this Kamadev? He's just shooting arrows at everyone. And these arrows are keeping everyone completely intoxicated, infatuated by the desire for material enjoyment, especially the attraction between the male and the female. Pungshastriyamaitunibhavametam. It is the basic principle of all material bondage. From that attraction between man and woman comes the expansion of so many desires to enjoy not only our bodies, but also our homes and our wealth and our property and our animals and our everything else, our relatives, our friends, our society. Janasya moho yamaham mamayati. Completely in the grip of the misconceptions of I am this body and all things in relation to the body are mine. This is the work of Kamadev. And it's thorough. The whole world is dancing to the melody sung by Cupid. So here is the source of all that power and energy. With all Kamadev's determined energies, he shot an arrow into Lord Shiva in order to try to invoke lusty desires in Shiva. And when that arrow hit Shiva, he came out of his meditation and he looked, who has done this? And there he saw the beautiful form of Kamadev. And did any lusty desires come from his heart? Not even a trace. Just to show Kamadev what a rascal he was for disturbing him, he opened his third eye and fire came out and burned Kamadev to ashes. Shankar Bhagavan ki! Yeah. Now when Kamadev attacks you, do you have that power? We're somehow or other just holding on to the lotus feet of the holy name. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Then a greater power than Shiva will come to save us. But if we forget the holy name, we have no alternative but to bow at the lotus feet of Cupid. So Shankar, such a great soul. But when he came before Vishnu in his form of Mohini Murti, he forgot who he was, what he was, where he was. He was only thinking, let me enjoy the lusty relationships with this woman. And he began to chase after her. And then what happened is, as she was roaming about here and there, playing with her ball, a very nice fragrant breeze came by and unwrapped her sari and her belt from her body. And then she stood before Lord Shiva with no clothes. And this further aggravated the desire in Lord Shiva to have her. So they were running and running. And finally, Lord Shiva, somehow or other, caught the braid from her hair. And then he touched her. And then he embraced her. And as she was in the embrace of Lord Shiva, she began to squirm like a serpent, and she escaped and began to run again. Meanwhile, Lord Shiva began to discharge his semen. And the semen of Lord Shiva is very powerful. Not a drop of it could go to waste. And he continued to run after her. And he began to run all over the world chasing after her through different near lakes and ponds and forests. And she even ran through the hermitages of great, great sages and rishis who were devotees of Shiva, who were practicing renunciation in the footsteps of Lord Shiva. And all these nice brahmacharis and sadhus were performing their sadhana, and all of a sudden this beautiful, beautiful naked lady comes running by. And then after that, Lord Shiva is running after her, completely immersed in trying to catch her. And the reason why Vishnu did this is he wanted to show these great saints and sages, do not think you are above my powers. Do not be proud and think you are great souls. The acharyas interpret this pastime in this way, that even though you are very renounced and you are very learned in the scriptures and you are very, very advanced spiritually and very detached from everything, never ever be complacent in being on guard against Maya. Because in the form of the opposite sex, anyone can be charmed and subdued, even your own master, Shiva. So beware, be careful, be cautious. Very, very strong lesson was learned. And ultimately, Shiva was running, and when his semen was fully discharged, then he became sober. Every drop of that semen turned into a gold mine. And the gold mines throughout the world, which are so precious, were born of this wonderful pastime, Lord Shiva. So whenever you see someone with gold earring, or gold bangle, or gold ring, or gold bracelet, or gold necklace, or gold rings on toes and whatever else they put gold on, or gold teeth. Wherever you see gold, you should not think, oh, how beautiful is this gold? You should think, oh, this gold is coming from this great lesson that Lord Shiva taught us. We should not be charmed by the opposite sex. Gold is that signal to us. This is the way Vaishnavas see gold. Other people, they're mad after gold. We just see it as Lord Shiva's semen that was discharged only to teach us a grand lesson not to look at Maya. So Lord Shiva became very sober, and he came back to his natural, completely self-controlled state. And then Mohini Murti transformed her form into that of Lord Vishnu, standing before Shiva with his four arms, holding the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. And Lord Shiva smiled at him and said, now you have seen this form of Mohini Murti. And I am so proud of you Why was Lord Vishnu so proud of Lord Shiva after what Lord Shiva had done? This is a great, great teaching to understand. That after Lord Shiva, in front of his wife, Bhavani, in front of all the hobgoblins and ghosts who he associates with and worship him, and in front of all the great sages and rishis who worship him and honor him, he was performing such an act of chasing after her, completely intoxicated by illusion. When he understood that Mohini Murti was Vishnu himself, he was not the slightest bit ashamed. He didn't feel bad at all. He was simply proud of Vishnu. He was proud that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has such power over me that he can make me do this. How great is my Lord? Because please understand that Lord Shiva is beyond Maya. Maya cannot touch Lord Shiva, Mahamaya. She is his consort, under his control. This was Krishna's personal yoga maya. Lord Shiva was so happy that the Lord showed the whole world how great he was, that even the greatest Mahadev, the king of all the demigods, could easily become bewildered by the Supreme Personality of God. Although we have so many wonderful conceptions of Lord Shiva, so many stories of how he kills demons and how he destroys universes, here we find the most wonderful display of Shiva's complete humility. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is what a Vaishnava is. One who is more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others, to expect none in return. That is Vaishnava, true Vaishnava. So we see Lord Shiva, sometimes he's known as Ashutosh. He's easily pleased, and then he gives blessings, but he's also easily angered. There are so many stories of people who offend him, like when Bhrigu Muni, he offended him. He said to Lord Shiva, "What is all this? You want to embrace me because you're my brother? How can I embrace you, dirty, dirty person? Ashes of dead bodies all over your... never comb your hair, snakes. You are a filthy person." So Lord Shiva became so angry, he was about to stab him with his trident. So we may ask, how is this Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sish? What to speak of Amanina Amanadena? Well, we should understand that in his role as the Gunavatar for Tamaguna, he acts in this way. But actually he takes this role out of humble devotion to the Supreme Lord. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. This means Lord Shiva is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. And this verse is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the greatest of all scriptures. So when we see that Lord Shiva sometimes behaves in certain ways, out of utter surrender and humility to the Supreme Lord, he behaves this way because he takes the role of the guna avatar for Tamagun. And he attracts certain people by these pastimes who are in the mode of ignorance, who like these things, to see somebody who's very angry and... because anger is the mode of passion, ignorance. But actually, Lord Shiva is the most humble devotee. And this is displayed in this wonderful pastime of Mohini Murti. How he was so pleased and proud that Lord Vishnu has shown his mercy upon Shiva. And he was so happy that Lord Vishnu showed the whole world that Vishnu is, that Shiva is subordinate to him. Sadashiva, the original Shiva, appeared as Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was both Mahavishnu as well as Sadashiva. And you know the wonderful pastime. Lord Chaitanya always worshipped Advaita Acharya because he was the most exalted of all Brahmins on earth, and he was also the godbrother of his own spiritual master. And when Lord Chaitanya wanted to take the dust from Advaita Acharya's lotus feet, there was nothing Advaita Acharya could do to possibly stop him. Because Lord Chaitanya was more strong. So Advaita Acharya, he began to preach Yoga Vashishta philosophy, Mayavad. And Lord Chaitanya, when he heard of this, he went to Shantipur and he jumped on Advaita and began to beat him. Right in front of all Advaita Acharya's students, he had a whole class of his disciples learning from him, listening to him. And his family was there, Achyutananda, and his wife was there, Sita Devi, Thakurani. And you know, the nature of a husband does not like to be embarrassed in front of the wife. What to speak of the children? What to speak of students and disciples? But when Lord Chaitanya was beating him with his fists, and chastising him, Advaita Acharya was simply laughing in ecstasy. Because, my Lord, now you have shown the whole world that you are the master and I am the servant. Today I am very happy. So the great personalities, they want to reveal to the world the greatness of the Lord, never the greatness of themselves. And here in this beautiful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma is explaining that that himself, Shiva, and you, Narada, and everyone, we can never know who is Krishna. We are all under the control of Krishna. He can give us enlightenment, he can give us bewilderment, whatever he wants, we are that. If Krishna wants to put you in total illusion, you are in total illusion, you have no power. If Krishna wants to rescue you from this illusion, there is no power on this earth that can distract your attention from his loving service. Ye yathamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamya. And as we surrender to Krishna, he will reveal himself accordingly. He controls us either by his beauty or love, or by the illusions of this material world, depending on how, on our desire, depending on our determination. Lord Brahma wants to give this nice explanation. And therefore, we should have faith in the Shastra. Srila Prabhupada, taking this beautiful verse, is taking the opportunity to warn us, do not have faith in the realizations or the speculations born of the tiny brains of material scientists, philosophers, or so-called educationists. Because what can they know? They do not even know what's beyond the planet Earth. They have their telescopes, and they're looking into the other planets, and they're looking into the stars, and according to what little tiny glimpse they see of that place, they come up with all kinds of speculations, and they manufacture all types of theories of what is Mars, and what is the moon, and what is everything else. But what do they know? What do they see? They have no idea that they're just looking into the closest little planets to this little speck called the Earth, floating within the ocean of the sky of this universe. What to speak? They can't see Brahma Loka, or Tapa Loka, Maha Loka, Jana Loka. They cannot even see Swargaloka. They're just seeing a few little things. And yet they are posing themselves and being great knowers of the truth. They do not understand that this whole universe, which is completely beyond their capacity, is just like one little tiny mustard seed in a massive ocean of mustard seeds. And beyond this universe, which is just 1/4 the energy of the Lord, is the spiritual sky and all of the innumerable Vaikuntha planets. So what do they know? When we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we are hearing from Krishna himself. The descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam are the descriptions given by God. Even Brahma, even Shiva, they study Srimad Bhagavatam to understand what is the truth. They receive their information from the Lord. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye. They do not speculate what is what. What to speak of the tiny brains of the so-called scientists of today. Krishna is inconceivable. Achintya Shakti. And it is explained here that according to one's individual personal capacity, one is either deluded by the modes of material nature in a very unique way, or Krishna reveals himself as the beautiful personality of Godhead in a unique, personal, wonderful way to every living being, according to the nature of our devotion. So let us cultivate that devotion. Bhaktavatsal, the attractor of even Cupid, Madan Mohan, is attracted by the devotion of the heart of his servants. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Who can understand Krishna? Even Krishna cannot understand Krishna. What to speak of Brahma, Brahma or Vishnu? Vishnu, Mahavishnu wanted to see Krishna. And even Krishna, when he was looking in the beautiful jeweled pillar and he saw a reflection of himself, he was thinking, I cannot understand this, how great this beauty is. Even I cannot understand. And he's the knower of everything. And then he was thinking, this beauty, it's so inconceivably wonderful that even I'm attracted to it when I see myself in the reflection. What to speak of Srimati Radharani, what kind of ecstasy she is in, who is his own pleasure potency. So in order to deeply understand the nature of his own beauty, as Srimati Radharani, his own self, was seeing, he appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To understand what is it that so attracts the heart of Srimati Radharani? What is the nature of her love? What is the happiness she derives in that love? Krishna is even amazed at his own opulences. And the ultimate expression of that is the incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to taste and experience the higher and higher and higher spiritual ecstasies of himself and to distribute freely that ecstasy to everyone through the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Brinda ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, in South India, there's a temple of Shabarimala where we are told the Lord, the presiding deity over there, Ayyappan, is a product of this pastime between Mohini and Shiva. But the Bhagavatam says otherwise. Can you please clarify the position of Ayyappan Swami? And second question, Maharaj, just like how Brahma...
You should ask one question, not two questions. We accept that Ayyappa is the son of Shiva. But as far as son of Vishnu, where does that come from? He was never touched by Vishnu. There is no evidence in any shastra in this way. So therefore we worship him as a great personality, but we do not worship him as the son of Vishnu. We worship him as son of Shiva. To be the son of Vishnu means coming from Vishnu directly. It's coming from Shiva. Mohini Murti never gave birth to anyone. She was running too fast. But, you know, they like to make movies and all these things. People have these conceptions. But according to Shastra, this is how we accept it. And the great acharyas of the Madhva Sampradaya, this is the way they explain it. Second question?
Maharaj, just like how Lord Brahma lives for 100 of his years, is there anywhere in the Shastras where it's mentioned how long Shiva lives?
How Lord Shiva, how long he lives?
Yes.
Lord Shiva is eternal. Lord Brahma is a Jivatma, generally. In special cases, Vishnu takes the form of Brahma, but generally Brahma is Jiva. That means he is a living entity, like you and me. In fact, if you perform the proper tapasya, you can take the post of Lord Brahma. Perhaps sometime in the past you were Lord Brahma. So therefore, Lord Brahma lives 311 plus trillion years. Yes? That is the life of Brahma. That means from the that is the time that the Supreme Personality of Godhead empowers Brahma within the universe. And then Brahma dies. And generally, those Brahmas who worship the Lord properly at the time of the end of the cosmic manifestation, they go back to Godhead. However, Lord Shiva is eternal. He is not born or die. He manifests, he incarnates as the son of Brahma into this particular universe. Just as Vishnu, he's not born. He comes into this universe, he performs his lila, he leaves. Lakshmi Devi is not born, but she manifests herself within the universe during the time of the churning of the ocean of milk. But actually she's the eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Shiva is like that. He is actually not Jiva Tatma. He's Vishnu himself, but he's eternally in a mood of, or when he comes into this world, Lord Shiva takes the role of a demigod. Therefore, he is called Shiva Tattva. And before, beyond Devidam, or this material existence, just in the vicinity of the Vaikuntha Lokas is Maheshdham. This is described by Lord Brahma himself. Lord Shiva has his own abode. So in this way we should understand that Shiva remains within this universe for the time of the lifespan of Lord Brahma. And at the end he is an agent of the Lords for destruction. But he does not die. And he is not born. It's eternal. Is that your understanding also? Gauranga Prabhu? Huh?
It's like in every universe, Brahma is different living entity. And from Brahma, Shiva is manifest. So in every universe, the Shiva Tattva is the same. Or
you're answering a question with a question?
It's a question.
You're asking whether in every universe Shiva is the same. Same personality. A jiva can never become Shiva. It's not a post. Brahma's a post. Shiva, every Shiva is an expansion of the same personality. But he expands himself as various rudras and so forth, which are expansions of himself. So in one sense they are the same personality, the same principle of Shiva Tattva in every universe. However, Lord Shiva is full of variegatedness, so he doesn't necessarily act the same in every universe. Same personality. In fact, from moment to moment, he may have so many wonderful, inconceivable pastimes. So when you ask, is Krishna always the same when he comes to this world, once every day of Brahma? Yes, he's the same person. But that same person is revealing innumerable transcendental varieties of his own personality. And Shiva also reveals so much variety of his various attributes. Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, how are the Vishnu Tattvas different from Krishna, not Krishna?
What?
How are the Vishnu Tattvas different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How are the Vishnu Tattvas different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Krishna is the cause of all causes. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the ultimate realization of the Supreme Personality of God. And Vishnu Tattva is Krishna, but the difference is that Krishna is the source and the cause of all Vishnu Tattva. And all Vishnus are the manifestations of that source, eternal manifestations of that source, Krishna. Brahma Samhita explains, so many candles are being lit, and all those candles are giving out the same type of light, but still there is an original candle which has, from whom has manifested all other candles. That original candle is Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajam, Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Address is 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatty, Bombay 400007, India.
Mogyan timidandasya yananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai sri Guruve Namaha. Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vya Eva Cha Dhanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jaya Sri Krishna Chai Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya
Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
for the sweet pleasure of the Lordships, Sri Sri Nithai Gaura Chandra. We would like to invite all of you, exalted Vaishnavas, to very sincerely chant the sacred Maha Mantra. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, the most beautiful descriptions of the loving rasas between Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his devotees are described. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, in few places, it actually explains which ragas were beautiful melodies in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees sang their kirtans. In several places of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, it describes how often they chanted in the Bhati Yar Rag. Tomorrow night, we will explain some of the beautiful heartfelt prayers that were chanted in this Patiyari Rag. At the house of Shivas Thakur, often they would chant the holy names in this way. It's a very beautiful meditation that by the grace of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur and our beloved Acharyas, we are given entrance into the opportunity to chant according to our own capacity of devotion. In the same way that Lord Chaitanya himself would perform kirtan along with his devotees. This is a rag of separation, which is meant to induce our minds, our hearts, our souls to enter deeper and deeper into the sublime nectar of the holy name, in the mood of calling out in separation from our eternal Lord, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath.